أيها الأحباء ببداية العام الجديد 2022 وأيضا بعيد الميلاد المجيد بحسب التقويم الشرقي. أهنئكم في جميع الكنائس القبطية في خارج مصر، في أمريكا وكندا وأمريكا الجنوبية وفي أوروبا وفي الكرسي الأورشليمي في القدس وفي أفريقيا وأيضا في كنائس الخليج العربي ثم كنائس أستراليا وكافة المدن التي بها كنائس قبطية. أهنئ جميع المطارنة والأساقفة والأباء الكهنة القمامسة والقصوص والأباء الرهبان الذين يخدمون وأيضا الرهبان والراهبات في أديرتهم، وأيضا أهنئ كل الأراخنة وكل الأسر القبطية وكل الشباب وكل الأطفال وكل الشعب القبطي. كل سنة وحضراتكم طيبين وسنة جديدة سعيدة على الجميع. في ميلاد ربنا يسوع المسيح فرحة كبيرة جدا، ونتعلم في الميلاد في كل عام رسائل عديدة، الرسائل كثيرة نتعلمها من مولود المزود في قرية بيت لحم في أورشليم، والرسائل التي يقدمها لنا هذا الميلاد. الميلاد ميلاد ربنا يسوع المسيح جاء ليبدأ رحلة الخلاص للإنسان من الخطية والسقوط الذي كان في الأول من خلال آدم وحواء. وبعد هذا السقوط ظل العالم كله ينتظر من يأتي ليخلص، إلى أن جاء اليوم السعيد يوم الميلاد المجيد، وجاء ربنا يسوع المسيح بهذا الميلاد لكي ما يقدم لنا رسائل عديدة في حياتنا. أريد أن أقدم لكم بعض هذه الرسائل التي يمكن أن تفيدنا في حياتنا. الرسالة الأولى أن الميلاد يعني البداية الجديدة، هو بداية جديدة، والبداية دايما تمتلئ بالفرح بالرجاء بالأمل. لما الواحد بيبتدي مشروع، لما بيبتدي دراسة، لما بيبتدي أسرة، البدايات دايما تملأ الإنسان بالفرح. لذلك هذه البداية الجديدة نعبر عنها في صلواتنا الصباحية ونقول فلنبدأ بدءا حسنا، فلنبدأ بدءا حسنا. أنت تبدأ، ربما يكون العام الماضي في بعض الضعفات، ربما يكون في بعض السقطات أو السهوات أو حتى الخطايا، دعنا نبدأ في هذا العام الجديد ونبدأ بدءا حسنا. ابتدي بداية جديدة وقدم عهود وتعهدات أمام الله، وقول مع داود النبي تعهدات فمي باركها يا رب. رسالة أخرى من رسائل الميلاد المجيد أنه يقدم لنا نور للحياة. تلاحظوا إياي أن ميلاد ربنا يسوع المسيح كان ليلا وكان في المزود، ولكن في ظلمة الليل يظهر الملاك ويظهر النور ويبشر الرعاة ويقول لهم ها أنا أبشركم بفرح عظيم يكون لجميع الشعب، ويظهر النور في وسط عتمة الظلام. هكذا الملائكة عندما أنشدوا نشيد الميلاد المجد لله في الأعالي وعلى الأرض السلام وبالناس المسرة، كان هناك نور، وكان النور أيضا يملأ المزود عندما ولد المسيح، وشع النور من مولود بيت لحم مولود المزود وملأ المكان نورا. النور يعني الاستنارة في حياة الإنسان، النور يعني العمل، يعني الجد، يعني الاجتهاد. علشان كده احنا ايضا في صلواتنا الصباحية نقول بنورك يا رب نعاين النور، بنورك يا رب نعاين النور، يجعل الانسان يعيش في استقامة، لان النور زي ما كلنا نعرف يسير في خطوط مستقيمة. فهذه رسالة للاستقامة، ان الانسان يعيش ويمارس مسؤوليات حياته اليومية وهو في حال الاستقامة. ونحن نصلي كل يوم وندعو الله ونقول قلبا نقيا اخلق فيه يا الله وروحا مستقيما جدده في أحشائي. مسؤولياتك اليومية، حياتك تكون واضحة في النور وتتم في النور وتتم بروح الاستنارة القلبية وروح الحكمة وروح التمييز. هذه رسالة أخرى، رسالة النور. أما الرسالة الثالثة فهي رسالة الدعوة. دعوة الميلاد هو دعوة جديدة، دعوة جديدة. لما بيتولد طفل بيبقى دعوة لمسؤولية ورسالة في حياته عبر حياته بالعمر الطويل اللي ربنا يدهوله. عشان كده احنا ايضا في الصلوات الصباحية نصلي ونقول العبارات التي رددها القديس بولس الرسول عندما قال: أسألكم أنا الأسير في الرب أن تسلكوا كما يحق للدعوة التي دعيتم إليها. في دعوة. ميلاد المسيح في هذا المزود كان بداية جديدة ونور جديد وأيضا دعوة لرسالة الخلاص التي تممها المسيح على الصليب. علشان كده كل واحد فينا عنده دعوة وعنده مسؤولية وعنده رسالة، والله خلقك من أجل قصد معين تتممه. لكل أب، لكل أم، لكل خادم، لكل خادمة، لكل مسؤول، كيف ما تكون مسؤولية الإنسان، الله خلقك لكي ما تحقق وتتمم قصده فيك. علشان كده الميلاد هو دعوة جديدة. إذن يا إخوتي الأحباء، الميلاد هو بداية جديدة وهو نور جديد في حياة الإنسان، وهو أيضا دعوة جديدة لمسؤولياته في الحياة وفي العمل. أنا أكرر تهنئتي القلبية لكم جميعا، وأرسل لكم من المقر البابوي بالكاتدرائية المرقسية بالعباسية بالقاهرة في مصر، وأرسل لكم كل تحيات الأباء، كل أباء المجمع المقدس وكل الأباء الكهنة وكل الأباء الذين يختمون في كل الكنائس هنا في مصر، وأيضا الصلوات والدعوات أقدمها لكم من خلال الأباء في الأديرة القبطية في مصر. أرسل لكم هذه الرسالة وأرجو أن تكونوا دايما بخير، وربنا يحفظكم ويعطيكم الصحة الكاملة ويعطي نعمة ويحفظكم حتى وإن كنا في أزمنة وباء وجائحة، ولكن لنا ثقة كما يقول داود النبي: الرب نوري وخلاصي، ممن أخاف؟ الرب حصن حياتي، ممن أرتعب؟ تهنئة قلبية لكم جميعا، وأرجو لكم كل خير وسعادة في العام الجديد، ولإلهنا كل مجد وكرامة من الآن وإلى الأبد. آمين.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Merry Christmas. Happy Feast of Nativity. I'll read for you all the message from His Grace Bishop Yusuf. My beloved children, the Lord is born. Let us glorify Him. I wish you all the happiness and blessings of the Nativity Feast and a healthy and prosperous New Year. Let us rejoice and celebrate together the glorious birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bowed the heavens and emptied Himself to come to us, to live among us and to save us. As the Apostle Jude exhorted the believers with this greeting: mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. I also extend the same to each of you, declaring the incarnation of the Logos cannot be mingled with negativity and hostility towards one another. Heaven and earth are reconciled. Peace on earth begins with each person, one by one. Reconciling scorches demons because they cannot understand forgiveness, since it requires humility. Thus set your pride aside, that you may proclaim the greatest news. It seems we can convincingly forget that the Lord Jesus gave us the commandment of love. This was not merely a suggestion, a theory, a request, or a hypothetical possibility. It is a commandment with no contingencies. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Having sincerely performed this commandment, join the chorus of those who approach the holy infant in Bethlehem and offer him the gifts of obedience. Honesty is required. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. If he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? With constant reminders of overwhelming news, do not lose sight of the greatest event that influenced history and changed the course of life. While angels, shepherds, and wise men rejoice, the wicked and evil Herod was dismayed and unleashed his ugly vengeance on the innocent. He rejected the holy infant because darkness and light cannot coexist. In all diabolic warfare, remember that Emmanuel is with us. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Beware and be watchful, for evil hides in plain sight. As the vile ruler desires to destroy the child Jesus, be vigilant to protect your children, your marriage, your family, yourself, because Satan craves to ruin the family and every soul. Proclaim the greatest news by resisting this destructive force. Flee from all evil like the Holy Family. Do not be an unwelcoming innkeeper, insisting that there is no room for him. Open your hearts to him. The incarnation of the Word is for the salvation of the world. We are redeemed by the blood of his only begotten Son. In your baptism, you were consecrated as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, welcome the Lord and make room for him. Gather your family together and seat the Lord at the head of your table. Let this be a year of reconciliation. Let there be no discord among you. Resist the devil by reconciling with your brother, your sister, your spouse, your children, your parents, your neighbors, and anyone whom you may have offended or may have been offended by you. Herald the greatest news in how you live and how you love. Let us glorify the incarnate and eternal Word of God. May the Lord increase you in mercy, peace, and love. Show your gratitude by bestowing kindness and genuine goodwill to those around you. We pray, beseeching the intercession of the Ever Virgin Saint Mary, Archangel Gabriel, and Archangel and all of the angels, Saint John the Baptist, and the prayers of all the saints, and the prayers of our blessed and beloved Patriarch, His Holiness Pope Tewodros II. May the Lord protect and keep him for us for many years and peaceful times. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. God bless you. Signed, His Grace, Bishop Yusuf. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many people, when we think about God, they think about a God who is like slightly aloof, slightly, who's distant, who's far, and is somewhat indifferent to our lives here on earth, and sometimes is angry at us. And it seems like it's angry at us. However, today in this blessed feast, we celebrate the God who is willing to step out of eternity, so to speak, and step into our humanity. And to get involved with the grief and the suffering and the hardship of human life. Today is a story, my beloved, is a story of love. As St. John says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. And if you think about it, our Lord came and took off all of his glory and was subject to human suffering. All for what? For you and I. And if we think about our condition, is it worthy of a king? Is it worthy of the Son of God? Our condition was a sinful condition. As St. Paul says in Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our condition is defeated by the enemy and overcome by sin. Our condition is we are weak and incapable of saving ourselves. Listen to what St. Paul says, and I think maybe sometimes we can relate to this. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." So this is sometimes, you know, we have this good intention in our heart. We want to do well, but we don't find the means to do it. We don't know how to do it, or we're hindered by from doing it. And he continues and said, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." And again, we can relate to this. How many times have we done things that we regret? We look back and say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have behaved this way. I shouldn't have reacted this way. I shouldn't have left like I left. And so on. But this is what we do, my beloved, because we are broken and we are weak. And he continues and says, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." This is the condition of man before the Lord Christ came to the earth. Sinful, broken, incapable of saving ourselves. Not only that, but we lost the image of God by which we were created. We rebelled against God. And even to the point, humanity has even denied that God even exists. And not only that, but we've also gone so far as to worship idols. In the Psalms it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Despite all of the evidence and all of the beauty we see in the world, some still say that there is no God. And sometimes we get caught up with the idols and we worship them. I'm not saying statues or anything like that, but I'm saying philosophies and theories. Nowadays we hear a lot of different theories that are going around, like critical theory and CRT and all of these things. And people begin to make like policies and govern like businesses based on these kind of theories. Mind you, they're just theories. They're opinions of people, right? But yet we idolize them and we make them as if this is something that's gold standard. Some have even dabbled in Eastern mysticism. They search after like meditation and yoga and things like that, as if this is a means outside of God to gain peace and happiness and joy. And some went so far even to go to the dark side, Satanism and fortune telling and the calling of mediums. This is the condition of humanity. And it's almost as if man stood as an enemy to God. And what was God's response to all of this? We can read in John chapter 12, the Lord says, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." So see, the response of the Lord is a response of love. "I didn't come to judge the world, but I came to save the world." And if it means that I'm going to experience and endure all of the things that I've mentioned from humanity, I will take this upon myself in order to save as many as I can. In Psalm 103, the psalmist says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punishes us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So he loved us. Not only did he come and take our nature, but he forgave us our sins. He removes our iniquities when we repent. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, right? So as if it's forgotten, it's unseen when it's repented. Even though man has rejected God, yet God does not reject us, thankfully. God hears those, hears of those who perhaps love darkness and reject the light. There are some who do this, but yet he came to save us from darkness and save us from liking the darkness and loving the darkness. And lastly, in Romans, St. Paul tells us, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So he responds to broken humanity with love and forgiveness and mercy. He has come to save us. As he said to Zacchaeus and his family when he went and had dinner with them and he observed the repentance of Zacchaeus, he said to them, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost would be you and I. As long as we believe that we are lost and we are sinners, he has come to seek and to save us. Who did he come to save? We hear in Isaiah 61, he says, and this is the same passage that was quoted when the people, when John the Baptist went and asked his disciples to go after the Lord while he was in prison, go after the Lord Jesus and ask him if he's the coming one or do we wait for another? He quoted this passage from Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to teach, preach glad good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we came to save the brokenhearted, save those who are burdened. If you look at someone like the Samaritan woman, who was embarrassed of her situation, she had five husbands and the one she had was not her husband. She went out at time of day where no one else would be there to draw water. But yet the Lord was waiting for her there, waiting to heal the broken heart. And when he touched her heart, she not only became a believer, but she became an evangelist and went and told those same people who judged her as a sinner that, look, come see the one who told me all that I ever did. He came to save the brokenhearted. He came to save those who were caught in the snares of sin. Like the woman who was caught in adultery. There was no question about her sin. There was no question about her judgment according to the Old Testament law. But yet when the Lord met her and he saw the people ready to stone her and he told them, he of you is without sin, cast the first stone. And when they all left, he said, where are your accusers? Are they here? Said, no, they're not here. Then he responded to her these beautiful words, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. So even if we are caught in the midst of sin, and there is something that's plaguing my life, today we celebrate the Lord coming and taking flesh to save us from this trap and ensnarement of sin. And he saves us by his love, his care, his attention, and many different remedies. He also has come to save the outcasts, those who have no one to ask about them, those who seem to be forgotten. And if maybe we think about the community we live in and the greater community outside of the church, there are certainly many who are seen in this category of outcasts that have no one to ask about them. This category can be categorized as the people of the Gentiles in Christ's time. To the Jews, the Gentiles were foreigners and outcasts, not welcome in the community of the believers, right? But we see how Christ dealt with even the Gentiles and the non-believers. If you remember, there was a story of a centurion who had a servant who was sick. And he came to the Lord and he asked him, Lord, I have this servant of mine who is sick. So the Lord said, okay, I will come to your house and I'll heal him. And he responded and says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But just say the word and I know my servant will be healed. The Lord responded and praised him and said that he has never found such faith in all of Israel. Then he continues right after this and he says to his disciples, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Notice what the Lord says here. It says many will come from east and west. It didn't say from Jerusalem. So the Lord here was saying that there are many who you think, you know, only the salvation is for the Jews. No, salvation is from the whole world, from the east to the west. And they will be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your fathers, in the kingdom of heaven. So he saw the faith of this centurion and he praised him. He also praised the faith of the Canaanite woman who was a pagan and a Gentile. And she came and begged. You know, her story is quite amazing. She came and she begged the Lord to heal her daughter because she's demon-possessed. And the Lord, in the beginning, he ignored her. And then she came and she still persisted. And the disciples got annoyed and said, send her away. And then she persisted and stayed after. And then she said, it's not fit for me to give the food of the sons to the little dogs. It's a word of humiliation, right? He called her like a dog. Anybody that's called now, yani a dog, we would leave and we would storm out and say, how could you, and so on. But she endured this. She took this. She took it in stride, in humility. And she says, yes, Lord, but even we can eat from the crumbs from the master's table. Right? So she humbled herself. And the Lord praised her and said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. So he came to save the brokenhearted, those who are caught in the snare of sin, and those who are outcast. And this, my beloved, gives us hope. His love is the source of our hope. How does he give us hope? We face, whatever we face in life, we know that we don't face it alone. We know that we are not alone. This is a beautiful hope. Because when we hear and we celebrate this great feast, the Lord said, it said about him in the prophecy, that behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does this mean? God with us. God with us. So this gives us hope. Whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, whatever challenges we face, we don't face them alone. The Lord Jesus, when he took flesh, he entered into all of the burdens of humanity. Nothing. We believe that he's fully human and fully divine. Being fully human, he experienced all of the hardships that we experience. Hunger, thirst, grief. He wept, at the death of Lazarus and so on. So he felt what we felt. And this is how we actually are able to relate to him and he to us. Listen to what St. Paul says in Hebrews. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he can sympathize with us because he was human like we are. And we are not alone. There was a time when there was a man whose name was Saul of Tarsus, who had authority from the high priest to capture the Christians and to take them back to Jerusalem and to have them killed there. And on his way to Damascus in Syria to do just that, he was met by the Lord Jesus, and he appeared to him in a very strong light, sent him on the ground. Of course, Saul had no idea who he was. So he says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord responded and said to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord, Saul never persecuted the Lord Jesus. But what happened? What do we see here? He says, every persecution that's done or injustice that's done to his children, it's as if it's done to him. He's with us. This gives us hope that whatever we go through in life, we are not alone. The second hope is that there is hope for everyone. No one is excluded. If you consider all of the individuals in the nativity scene, we see from those poor shepherds who are in the field and they receive glad tidings by the angels from heaven. We see from them to the royalty, those wise men, the scholars who came from the east, offering very precious gifts. They were wealthy. They too came and had hope and came and worshipped the Son of God in his birth. Everyone was included. There was no race, nor gender, no social person of different social status, even sinfulness. Right? All as one class. Everyone as one has hope. No one is excluded. The Lord Jesus wanted to show us this, and he gave us this example about him being the good shepherd. And in John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So we're held in God's hands. All of us. Everyone. Right? But I'll just put a little asterisk here. Because yes, if we are his sheep, we're held in his hand and no one can snatch us out. But the question is, do I want to be in His hand? The only one that can keep us away from the protection of God is us, is myself. When I distance myself from Him, when I make Him as an enemy, and I want nothing to do with Him, then I take myself out of His hand. But if I put myself in His hand, put my trust in Him, and my life in His hands, then no one can snatch us out of our Father's hand. This hope, my beloved, is for everyone. And lastly, no one is beyond His reach. No one is beyond His reach. If we know somebody maybe who's far from the church, who's leading maybe an ungodly way of life, no one is beyond His reach. If you remember from the play that was on New Year's Eve, they showed us the story of Saint Paisa, right? She was a godly woman when she was young, when she was a young girl, and then she was tricked by the enemy and went astray and had a house of harlotry. But in her young age, she met the monks in the desert, and among them was Saint John the Short. And she developed a good relationship with him, and she would visit the monastery often, and he knew her well. So when he found out about her wicked way of life, he went to visit her. And when he visited her, and she saw him for the first time, she wept. She remembered the times they had when they were young. And she questioned whether God could even accept her repentance. And he assured her that he would. And he said, as long as you're not here. So he took her and left. We're going back to the monastery, right? For her to take some refuge there. And on the way, they slept in the middle of the desert on the way to the monastery. And there she died. And he wept and asked God to reveal to him whether, her repentance was accepted. And he got a message from heaven saying that her repentance was accepted, and he saw the angels carrying her soul to heaven. If this was us, we would say there was no way that anybody would be able to reach someone like this. But we see how God reached her for many different means. If we look in the book of Acts, for example, there was a eunuch from Ethiopia who went to Jerusalem, was coming on the road back. He was eager to know God. So what does God do? The Holy Spirit takes Philip from where he was, transports him to, a distance close to where the eunuch was. And then when he's sitting there and he sees the chariot, of course, it's it's very intimidating. So he kind of stays back. And then the Spirit tells him again, go and overtake this chariot. And when he goes to the chariot, he finds the Ethiopian eunuch, preaches him, baptizes him, and then all of Ethiopia is preached because of him. So God can reach everyone. We can't lose hope in this. Those who are far, He can reach. Those who don't know Him, He can reach. Today we see God's beautiful expression of divine love for us, that while we were broken, shameful, and sinners, He came to us. And as Saint Athanasius said, God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of man can become sons of God. If we consider all the examples that I mentioned today, we will notice one common thing, is that Christ desires that we share in His work of salvation by offering hope to the world, by offering hope to them. My beloved, we can take care of one another. We can ask ourselves, how can I aid the salvation of my brother, my sister, my friend, my husband, my wife, my co-worker, and how can I give them hope? I leave you just with these two questions to ponder on. How can I aid in the salvation of those around me, and how can I offer them hope? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.